Hypothetically,
if you could have had one game
show up at E3, what would it be?
Hypothetically, if there was one Mario character you wanted in Mario Rabbids, what would it be?
Tingle.
Okay.
I love Tingle.
Yeah, but he's not a Mario character.
So it's funny you say that, because there's a Yoshi doll in Link's Awakening. So for there to be a Yoshi doll, they need to know who Yoshi is. And to know who Yoshi is, it has to be the same universe.
Where's the Yoshi doll?
In Link's Awakening?
Yeah.
When you go on the date with Marin, can you go to the Crane game?
In Link's Awakening?
Uh-huh. You win a Yoshi doll.
Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening.
The Game Boy one.
On the Game Boy, yeah.
I played the Game Boy one, but I don't remember.
You don't remember going on a date with Marin?
No.
You really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's required. You go on a date with Marin.
I don't remember that part.
Uh-huh. She takes you to the Crane game, and she puts the Crane game owner in the Crane game.
Mm-hmm.
And the prize you get is a Yoshi doll.
I don't remember
from
that.
From the Crane game. You don't even necessarily have to go to the date for the Yoshi doll to exist. Anywho, needless to say, therefore, Zelda is in the Mario universe.
Are Easter eggs canon?
No.
No.
It's not an Easter egg, though. It's not. There's Octoroks in Mario Galaxy.
Think about every other game that has an Easter egg in it. Doesn't make it canon. Just makes it a sweet, sweet, tasty
Link
surprise.
Link is in Donkey Kong Country.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Where?
At the very end of the game, when during the credit sequence, Cranky talks about how you're almost a hero, and then he has a little, like a tier thing where there's three other, there's heroes. And Link is standing as one of the heroes.
What number is Link?
I don't remember.
What number are you?
Oh, you're not number one.
Are you two or three?
I don't think so. I think you're four. I think you're standing to the side. I don't recall 100%. Link's
what
in
game
that.
Is this?
There's also in Super Mario RPG, there's an allusion to Link. Link is in the bed of one of the... And you go talk to him, and he's dreaming, and it goes... So, like, there's just three of them. The instances where Link is in, or a Zelda character is in Mario.
Is it that
Mario
a
Kart.
Zelda character is in the Mario universe?
You go to Hyrule in Mario Kart.
Or is
that
Mario in the Zelda
in
universe?
In DLC.
Fine. It's not an Easter egg, it's DLC. You gonna tell me DLC is not canon?
Yeah.
Really?
Master Quest is not canon.
It's not DLC.
It's about to be.
Yeah, but it's not.
No, on Breath of the Wild.
It's not currently, though.
Oh, you're talking about the trial. You put the sword back in its place and you show up in your underwear in a forest you don't recognize.
Uh-huh. Listen. Tingle is the Mario character I want. Take it or leave it.
Tingle a Mario character? Question mark. Says Legend of Zelda.
How about are Zelda and
freshly
Mario?
Freshly pink.
Yeah, Rosie.
Freshly
picked
Rosie. Tingle Rosie's.
Rosie Red Rupeeland. Jesus, you sound like a mess.
Well, I've never talked to you about this.
You've talked to me about Tingle.
No, this isn't a joke. I can't read ever since my eye surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I read at like half speed because all of the words are warped. So
am
it's
I
like
warped?
Yes. If I close this eye, your head like goes like this, and then the other side of your head is fine, but like the middle, the bridge of your nose and one eye like dip in. It's like if I pulled the plug from one side of your head and then the other side looks
straight
like,
out.
Honestly,
what did they
like,
fix with your eye?
Nothing. They broke everything. You look, when I close my good eye and I look at you with my bad eye, you look like the comedian from like that I Love the 70s and stuff like that. But he's a guy from Super High Me.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's who you look like almost exactly. Just a fucked up face.
Well, I mean, that's what I bring to the table. That's a fucked up face.
Yeah, so I close my bad eye, normal Sean, normal John. Open my fucked up eye.
And my muscles are distorted in all kinds of shapes. That bothers me.
They're back to normal.
Okay.
When I close my good eye and I look at you with my bad eye, mm-hmm. You have normal muscles.
Okay. Just needed to make sure.
Anyway, I can't read, is what I'm getting at. If I read, it's like half speed. I fuck up words. It's real bad.
Tingle's freshly picked Rosie Rupee Land.
Freshly picked Tingle's Rosie Rupee Land. But I have to close my bad eye to be able to read it quickly. So, hypothetically.
If what?
E3.
Hypothetically, E3 shows up at your door.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes Dick bearing E3. Gifts. And it's ready to just sodomize.
Oh, man.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay. Well, look. Great episode this week, guys.
See, next week. A lot of people would use like spit or lubricant. It's not as always a good friction.
I want it raw.
I want to go with chalk or sawdust. I feel like those are underrated friction relievers.
Want to know a funny thing about me?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of chalk.
I know that about you.
I know.
It's so good.
Yeah, my priest presented me with the same thing. He called it baptizing. Mm-hmm. I think it's. I'm.
It's only bad if you're christened with sawdust or chalk.
Yeah. We use my tears for communion.
I'm eating hard candies.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
I'm chewing gum.
Yeah, I know, but I'm crunching hard candy.
I started watching the movie Spotlight, which is about the archdiocese and Boston and child touching of priests.
Wait, what's it called again?
Spotlight.
Spotlight, yeah. I heard about that the other day. I heard it'll piss you off by the end of it.
It's pretty rough, man.
About how much they cover up and protect their own and all that.
Dude, and even worse than that, it like there's a part in the movie where you find out that the newspaper that you're following the whole time has actually been getting the facts for like a decade. And someone at the newspaper is throwing away all the shit. So they're like talking to this dude and he's like, I sent this to you 7 years ago. You could have investigated 7 years ago. You could have stopped these 13 other guys who have been doing it. And they're like, who the fuck is at this place receiving mail?
Yeah.
This is some bullshit. It's crazy.
Someone on the inside.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I have like 45 minutes left. It's pretty good.
It's like Making a Murderer. I watched that and that pissed me off at the end.
Making a Murderer is fantastic.
Yeah.
Pissed me the fuck off.
Yeah.
One of the dudes is already out.
Yeah, the kid.
The kid yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, I don't know, 40.
Yeah, and he's ruined by the penal system. Yeah. I mean, he already was going to have a rough life. He's a.
Do you think the penal system's real?
Yeah.
Like I thought it was just like
the
movie
system?
Oz. What's the difference?
The penal system.
You hear about the guy in Kansas City that got out 17 years prison, is getting like getting like $25 million from the state because he looks exactly like the guy who actually did it.
They fingered the wrong guy.
When they showed the photographs of the lineup, like three of the four are like super dark and you can't make out who it is, and then his photo is like super bright and like clear as day.
So good.
Yeah. I hate the justice system.
So if you can have your own, any E3 game. Any game at E3, I should say. What is it? Literally.
Are you asking one that was revealed at this E3, or
no.
You're making one up?
Literally.
If you could have a game show up at E3.
Any game.
Okay.
We'll say, we're going to go by, like, go to see any band. It has to be living rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be somewhat possible.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How about just ready to launch next month? You know, like, in completion, none of this, early 2019, and then 2019 rolls around and it's been pushed back 8 times.
I think that's super appropriate this year. I mean, there were so many games that had, like, the average time was probably, like, 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, between Ubisoft and Nintendo, they were, like,
yeah,
this game looks great to you, right? You never heard of it? It's coming out like tomorrow, like it's in your pocket right now.
Yeah, there was one studio that did it really poorly. That had like all of their games were 2018 games. But aside from that, I don't remember exactly which one. I just remember looking at it.
I felt that way about Sony.
Far away. Yeah, and Sony was kind of like that.
Well,
but
yeah.
I would say like a 6 month window, and you have like 85% of
E3.
Yeah. Like I would say 6/7.
Well, as it is now.
It's good.
Yeah, we'll see what it gets.
Next month will break your heart.
The game that I want there, that I wish was there, was the largest, most in-depth version of a brand new Katamari.
Oh, new Katamari.
Or a new Jet Set Radio.
I've played neither of those games.
Oh, those, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, no, I think they both would be great.
And when they announced original Xbox, I was hoping they'd give us a small lineup, and I was really hoping it was all launch games,
mm-hmm.
and that I would get Jet Set Radio Future on Xbox One.
Well, there's a lot of rumors right now, and I haven't fact-checked because we didn't really plan this topic, but I thought I read that it reads straight off the disc.
And it's I haven't heard anything definitive.
I would imagine that at this point, with the how many teraflops you've got, I mean, there's enough to spare. It's like you go next door and borrow a couple of teraflops.
Mm-hmm.
But I would bet they can just brute force emulate. See, that's the difference. There's two real types of emulation. You've got, like, emulation in regards to like the PlayStation 2, where it's able to do PS1 because it literally had the PlayStation 1's processor to manage its memory card.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the hardware there, or you just brute force it and your system is strong enough to literally emulate all the hardware at the right clock speeds. And I would think that the Xbox One's probably at that point. Like, we're probably able to just say, fuck it. Do this the hard way, you know. So I don't know. I bet it's everything. I bet you can just put your game in and go.
It'd be nice, except for the part where I don't have an Xbox One or Jet Set Radio Future. But
I also makes me wonder if it is brute force, if it's exclusive to the X. They
just
didn't really clarify that, but
how many teraflops?
Just you need so many teraflops.
Everything they said about or at the event was that everything is compatible with everything, and they're non-exclusionary.
So I tried to keep track of that because it was very confusing. They tried
intentionally, I'd say.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you and I have talked already about games that we had thought were exclusive but aren't, and then like, are they just console exclusive? Are they not? They tried to just drill past that. All you needed to know was like, this is probably only on Xbox. They should have just had somebody who came in that's like, this is probably only on Xbox. I don't know. I did not get the impression, based off of when that announcement was, that it's going to work on both consoles, like, explicitly.
Mm.
So, maybe implicitly. It is. So, those are good choices, though. Those are good choices.
Those would be mine. I would love for a randomly generated Katamari, like, to a point. So you play through the main game, and then you just have infinite Katamari.
An
updated soundtrack every month.
A community Katamari would be good. You want something with like a community editor.
They make the maps, and you place the items and the time restraints.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be better than fucking Little Big Planet. I'm just not a fan.
I like Little Big Planet, okay. It doesn't feel like it has a lot of soul. It has heart. It's a game with a lot of heart and no soul, in my opinion.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
So,
what games would you like?
Well, I'm big into JRPGs, so I would probably, I'd want to see either a remake of the first one or a brand new Breath of Fire, but a really, really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Capcom showed they know what they're doing when they invest in a JRPG, but after the third Breath of Fire, they fell off really, really hard. And when they announced the latest Breath of Fire title, it really was just a cash grab mobile app that probably tanked as hard as any other trashy app out there. I haven't played it. I haven't heard anything about it other than when it was first announced. So I would probably want a remake or another one. If they were to remake the first one. Or You know, honestly, a lot of the things that I wanted, at least in this E3, I got. So it was hard for me to come up with something that, you know, out of the blue that I would want, other than like a really nice JRPG.
Xenoblade is by the end of the year.
The Horizon Zero Dawn expansion was announced, which I really liked. When Destiny 2 was announced, I wasn't enthused, probably not by it. Yeah. But then Anthem was revealed, and I was like, oh.
I couldn't be more turned off about Destiny 2 right now.
Yeah.
Like, they need to sell me that it's at least as good as Oryx.
Yeah, now that Anthem has been shown with gameplay, it's like they have me by the balls. And Destiny, like, when I think about Destiny, it's like that old X from 10 years ago. You're like, what? Who? You know?
It just, I don't buy that they, I mean, the whole idea, the first conversations were, you know, we're going to have to wipe your characters because there's just no way to bring your old characters into, like, the new structure, the new system. Trust me, you'll see it. You'll believe it when you see it. All I saw was more of Destiny 1. I mean,
because they didn't update the engine.
Why would you want to believe them anyway? After you've invested all the time and the money and the other, you know, DLCs, expansions, and all that stuff, and you got really nothing out of it.
It's the same thing from, you know, Diablo 2 to Diablo 3. I mean, I dumped thousands of hours into Diablo 2, no joke, no hyperbole. Diablo 3 offered new systems and new structure that made me want to essentially redo that, all of that again. I don't do that with MMOs. I'm not an MMO guy.
Yeah.
Destiny only grabbed me because of the friend, the community. All my friends were playing it. But I did not like the loop very much.
Yeah.
And Oryx broke that loop. Like, I bought all the expansions and would play the story content and then just drop right off.
Yeah,
the raids, I wouldn't stick around for.
I played a little bit of year one, and then year two was right before The Taken King came out. I started playing again, and I grinded the shit out of that game to get caught up with everyone I was playing with. But I got to a point where I was like, when I did catch up, that I was like, this is extremely boring and a waste of my time, and I could masturbate and find better entertainment than sitting here and running through the dreadnought trying to collect shards.
See, I actually liked that part a lot. There was just something about how Oryx was structured that I loved. I did not get that with Rise of Iron or whatever it's called. I didn't get that at all. I felt, again, like all I wanted to do was just... I still haven't even done the raid.
Yeah, I played through the story of Rise of Iron, and that was it. I haven't done anything else. I haven't raided.
I was just disappointed.
I feel the exact same way. So. I haven't done the raid in Rise of Iron or anything like that.
I haven't seen video gameplay of the raid either. I literally beat the story and then just transferred my save file to the cloud and I installed the game.
I did the Crota raid.
To make room for another game.
Yeah, I did the Crota raid after I had beat the Oryx raid, just because I was like, hey, could somebody do this with me so I can... have experienced it.
Yeah.
Vault of Glass I did, and I was like, this is fun, you know, I like it, but I didn't like everything between. So I don't have any reason to believe right now that Destiny 2 is
going
to
be any better. Yeah.
It's going to do anything
I'm excited for Anthem. I think it's going to bring to the table a lot of people are saying that it was everything Destiny was supposed to be, but with better graphics, probably a better story, better gameplay experience. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
So, what I would like is a Jiminy Glick RPG. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want a Jiminy Glick RPG. No, I want Castlevania Harmony of Despair 2.
Jeez.
So, Harmony of Despair was the Xbox 360 Xbox Live game. And, God, talk about a game that's repetitive and in a loop. I don't know. I'm going to assume neither of you guys played it.
I played it, yeah.
I loved it, and I put so much time into it, it's not even funny. My buddy Alec has watched me play every Castlevania game, never played one. He put so much time into that as well. It's like, imagine like a Castlevania dungeon, but it's like a whole castle, but it's like compartmentalized into like a 30-minute little raid. And it's cool because you can zoom out and see all the rooms. It's all 2D, 100% 2D. And it's meant to be like this love letter to Castlevania. So there's like every character is in it, like, especially from the DS games, and you're going through all of these stages together, and it's all loot based. It's like really heavy loot based. It's really heavy grinding. Each character has their own mechanics. Like a lot of the DS Castlevania games, you have different mechanics for how you like level up or your different skills. So you could be like Shinoa, and she's got this big tattoo and she sucks magic up in it. So, like, while you have a Belmont who's, like, throwing their daggers and getting upgrades to their daggers from, like, utilizing their sub-weapons a lot, Shinoa's over here, like, sucking up magic. So, like, when they're casting their fireball, she can just steal it.
Yeah.
And nobody has to, like, be together. So, like, you can have two guys going off to fight the boss and, like, two other people, like, wandering off to go do whatever you know, fuck all, like, in another area to collect treasure. So it's just really fun to, like, experience, you know, this huge wandering maze of Castlevania, you know, bosses and battling, and it's all multiplayer. But I want it on 3DS.
Yeah, it definitely reminded me of, like, the Gauntlet Legend type games, like on the arcade when I first played it. Yeah.
Well, and I can say that I can definitely say that it doesn't, you don't have to know Castlevania to love it, because my buddy didn't have any idea. So, like, even though you're fighting a bunch of bosses that are, like, literally ripped out of old Castlevania games and thrown in, it was just awesome. And then the DLC was perfect. I mean, like, they would just do, like, $3-4, you got a whole new character. It's like, I put in at least 100 hours per character. And then each you got a few bucks for a whole new stage. And the stages, you got an easy mode and a hard mode, which I had all different drop trees. And some of the DLC stages were incredible. Like, they did all of Castlevania 1. And you go through all of it, all the way up to the castle. You zoom out and you see the whole castle, and all the bosses are in it, all the way through to the end. And each boss has their own drops, and they're unique per character, per boss. So you'll have stuff for Shinoa, you'll have stuff for another character, and you're like, oh man, I want to try this other character out, so I'm going to use these, you know, skills on it.
That would have been a really nice release to do that, and then release it alongside the Netflix show to really push that IP again. Back in the mainstream.
Well, and what Konami's left with is, they talked about, they just did this really interesting interview, I don't remember who it was for, like Engadget or something, and they talked about the Switch, and they talked about Castlevania. They were like, it's with the Switch in mind, it's time to pull Castlevania back out, which is exciting, because I know that in their minds, what they're thinking is a retro-style Castlevania, and I'm hoping when they say retro, excuse me, that they mean the DS, the what they call Igavanias, for Igarashi, who was the lead developer after Symphony of the Night. They all have their specific kind of flavor to them. RPGs, damage above the heads of the enemies, lots of grinding, lots of anime style. I love them. I could play them to death. That's like my Desert Island games. So the idea that we could have this kind of raid, because that's really what it is. Every stage is a raid. So we would just raid multiplayer, either on Switch or on 3DS.
It'd be pretty sweet.
It would be phenomenal. Yeah. And it's a well that could just continue to be tapped. Like, they could just put out so much content.
Yeah.
So, it's my game.
We had a good E3.
I agree.
Overall. One of the better ones I've seen.
Who showed the best?
Hmm.
Of the conferences.
See, and it may be the fanboy in me, but Sony is where I go, because it was just no talking, no anything. It was just game. And all of them were interesting, whether they're my games or not. They were all interesting games.
I like Sony the least of the big three.
My second would have been Ubisoft.
Yeah.
But Ubisoft has the fucking Just Dance, like, it's stuff like that. They had the lulls for me personally, but
yeah, I would say for me it's between Sony and Ubisoft. Yeah,
I'm gonna throw
but because
card.
Sony, because Sony threw out the Horizon Zero Dawn expansion, it was like the one thing I zeroed in on the most. I was like,
Spider-Man was incredible.
Yeah.
God of War looks great. I just, it was every single one of them. I was like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Everything.
I'm going to go wild card, and I'm going to say number one for me was Bethesda, and number two was Nintendo. So I'm like completely out there. And
are you excited to play Link in Skyrim?
What?
Are you excited to play Link in Skyrim?
Yeah, but I love Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein, the most recent one, and the expansion, some of the best stuff out there. I love Doom. Fallout on VR sounds great. If anybody knows me, they know I'm a huge VR fan.
Yeah.
So that looks great. I loved Evil Within.
I want to watch
that. Shinji Mikami, motherfuckers. Like, that is the heart and soul of the survival horror slash lots of action. Like,
yeah.
All these people who love Resident Evil 4, I get Evil Within was rough, But it was all there. It was there. And if they can take that concept, now that they have an engine and they have a formula, and I mean, you could have another Resident Evil 4. I don't think that that's an unrealistic expectation.
Are you excited for Bethesda's Creative Club that they're coming out with?
Not, couldn't be less interested.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking to a guy with Fallout 4. I never even built anything.
Yeah.
Like, I never built any of the structures or did the community stuff. I think it's great, especially if the monetization of mods works,
mm-hmm.
and you could really have this self-filtering system of crap content replaced with really top-grade content.
Yeah.
If there were... I mod games, don't get me wrong. I'm a big PC gamer. You kind of have to be a modder. And VR. VR is still, like, pulling teeth to get games to run right. So it's not like I don't like to tinker with my games. If there was truly good story content that was coming out from the community,
mm-hmm.
and I could go on a new quest in Fallout and it was worthwhile, then yeah, I'm in. But do I want, you know, Samus's outfit from my Fallout character? And I'm gonna
it's probably
going to
be
it.
A little crazy at first, but I think it'll taper out and be pretty
it's,
genuine.
These kind of areas, they can do a good job of filtering just because the
mm-hmm.
cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, you go on the PlayStation Store and there's 800 million avatar pictures and puppy dog backgrounds. So, yeah, no, it would be cool. But I loved Bethesda's conference. It's Bethesda and Nintendo. I mean, I know you guys don't always like everything Nintendo's got to offer. But
I would put Bethesda as my third and Nintendo as my fourth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were up there for me. They
Sony's
were better
my
than
last.
EA. Or
oh,
Microsoft.
No, EA's my last. EA, I thought, was terrible.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
super dry and didn't
well,
care about
I think the
anything.
Four is, like, the four is a game is really all they had. They had all that they had going for them. And then
it was Microsoft.
This,
it was Microsoft.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Xbox.
I'm thinking. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I
the dude got like
the
super
Porsche.
Excited
yeah.
over the Porsche. Yeah, I got that
they
confused.
It. I was like, damn it.
Yeah, I was like, they're gonna announce the new system. They're gonna show it off with water splashing from tires driving through.
You,
it
you guys
didn't game.
Play the first Star Wars Battlefront at all?
No.
Well,
I got excited though.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So that was the game that I'm excited about because it reminds me of Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
You mean
the actual Star Wars Battlefront 2, not the new Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a reason why it reminds me. They're like, okay, now we'll do Battlefront 2.
No,
Battlefront
it's just
2.
The name.
So
it's the exact same game.
I like that it's more cramped, it's more crowded.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay. it's Carly.
I thought that we had a very good E3. And the only thing that would have been better is if we got our dream games. But that's what I hear 2018 has. So.
Well, I thought it was really strange. I was just thinking about it because I was like, I made the comment of conference only, like ones that had a conference only. But where the hell were the people who didn't have a conference? Where were the Namco games and the Capcom games and the Konami games? And like, I know Konami doesn't make a lot of games, but like, where were their games?
I haven't seen anything
Square
from
X.
Activision. Yeah, Square normally has one.
Yeah, and Activision, I don't think Call of Duty was shown at...
A PlayStation.
Was it? I fell asleep through a lot of PlayStation.
Damn.
You
Sean.
Don't even know.
What do you mean I don't even know?
You fell asleep and you're like, oh, it's the worst
I know,
one.
But I rewatched it. I fell asleep during it. No, I mean, I watched some of the trailers out of it. I mean, I watched most of it. Don't do this. Don't fucking... It was. There weren't a lot of games.
How much of Bethesda did you watch?
All of it.
Oh yeah.
Every second of it.
And you liked that one more than Sony?
Hell yeah.
I really wish Dragon Ball Z was coming to PS4.
I would be amazed.
It will.
If it's not.
It absolutely will.
It looks like
Dragon Ball Z
sells
really well.
Yeah.
Well,
it looked
first
like
of all, yeah, and it's you have an Arc Systems game, and it's. And it's a Dragon Ball Z game, and it's Xbox exclusive. It sounds dumb for me to even think about it that way.
I was looking the other day, and I found multiple weeks where Kotaku had reported on the fact that the Xbox One sold less than 200 consoles
mm-hmm.
in a single week,
mm-hmm.
and it was always like 1,000 Wii U's sold, and then it was like 199
That's
Xbox
rough.
One sold in Japan.
Oh, dude, it's a super failure.
It's so good. It's, so there's no Japanese hit game that would not come to multiple consoles if it's coming to the Xbox One.
When you're pushing like all those consoles on the market, it's why would a family of three buy the Xbox One when they can just get a 360 and be just as content at a lower value?
Well, it's funny that, I mean, it has such an uphill battle. If I listen to a lot of podcasts that talk about like Japanese life, especially as a gamer. And, I mean, you go to places like Big Camera and these really tall, like, 10-story super department stores, and they have, you know, they'll have a Sears across, like, three floors, basically, if you think about it that way. And they'll take these kiosks, like the Microsoft kiosks, and because they're multi-floored, they'll, like, throw the Xbox One shit on, like, a floor that doesn't make sense, like the baby clothes, and there's this... like, one of them was talking about how they had this floor that was, like, automotive stuff, and they're, like, in the corner, and they just found this Xbox One demo kiosk, like... we have to have it. It's paid for. So, like, here it is.
Just put it in the bathroom next to the shutter.
So, like, it's not like... I mean, hell, it's not like... it's that's the reason why it's failing, but it definitely shows the attitude towards the console.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I don't think... when I think of consoles, I don't think of any sort of, like, nationalism. I don't. At all. I mean, the closest I've ever gotten to feeling that way is like some really old like Commodore 64 and stuff like that, like stuff that feels strongly European. But I'm not like that feels Japanese, other than Nintendo.
Yeah.
But Nintendo feels like Nintendo. I don't feel like I don't even see nationalism totally there. I just see their corporate message.
The Xbox One, I know, is an American-made console.
Mm-hmm.
It's still manufactured in Asia. But because it's American-made and the company is based in America, the focus is on there. And then in Japan, they have like an ancillary team where America is the largest market for consoles.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a really big push by these Japanese companies that are Nintendo and Sony pushing their consoles in the U.S., and then you have a weak push by an American company trying to get the Xbox One in Japan.
Well,
so it creates a nationalism between the two of them.
Japan is fiercely nationalist anyway.
Yeah.
They are like the most racist country that there is. And I don't have any problem saying that. I mean, it's...
right.
There are apartments. Like, you have to check the box that says you're a foreigner, like, going for apartments. Like, there are places that won't take you. So it's... I mean, it's definitely that way. So... I could see it going the other direction where they are like, this is an American console.
Yeah.
We don't want it.
Yeah. But, all right. Anything else you guys want to say about E3 on our mini episode?
Yeah. The one thing that I was really disappointed in that I've gotten kind of spoiled by is all the conferences where that would say, you know, they would show a game and they'd be like, and it's available now. Or, you know, the only instance of that this time was the Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, where
demo.
They showed the trailer and they're like, go play the demo.
Mm-hmm.
But Nintendo has always been a huge proponent of that. Like, here's this new thing. I expected Mother 3, the most recent Earthbound game. I expected a trailer for that, and you can go download it now.
Oh, yeah, that was something that disappointed me coming out of Nintendo, was the... Breath of Wild story expansion that's supposed to come out this holiday. I thought it was going to be, because if you've played and beat the game, it kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger. I thought we were going to get like the sequel to that, but instead you're going to get to go back and play as like the champions. I think at least that's what the trailer implied. You're going to go play as the champions.
You're going to get more info.
Yeah, rather than moving forward with the game, it's more in the past of the game. And
it's hard to say.
I was kind of bummed by that. I was like, this makes me feel like I'm going to get to play as Zelda, Urbosa, you know, and the rest of them, and I'm still gonna be stuck on that cliffhanger, like, well, what happens now? You know, even though I'm gonna go back and play it and beat it, I'm gonna be like, well, what happens now? Because those are foregone conclusions. I know what happens at the end of each of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was kind of a little peeved by that.
If they were going to do that, I would say that you have, and this is way too much content, but how did they become champions? So maybe there's like a dungeon that's like for each of them or something.
Yeah,
you possibly help them as Link through to become the champions. I don't think that would work because Revali obviously like didn't know who Link was and didn't give a shit about him.
Yeah.
In the main game, he's like, I should be the like the chosen one, not this dude.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's obviously going to happen, but I don't know. I would have liked if they would have gone totally off the wall and had like you go to Termina or something, like Majora's Mask.
See, they just announced the amiibos too, the champion amiibos, so maybe it was kind of a play on that, but and maybe I'm wrong, but the trailer just gave me that feeling that I'm not going to get a sequel.
I'm ready to see Vaadi, however you want to pronounce it, in a 3D Zelda. That's the Minish Cap and Four Swords Adventures villain.
Yeah.
He's a cool villain, and I think he would work really well in this world. So it's kind of bleak, and he is always has this feeling of like he comes in on like an air fortress. He's kind of like air themed, floating. So I mean, how cool would it be if there's just this floating continent and you have to find. You do like a little event to get there, and then you have the whole continent to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
like two
sweet.
Or three regions. Call it a day. And then you fight Vaadi, and that would be cool. And it would be a little bit of fan service, but most people don't know him. And they could make it put their little Breath of the Wild spin on him.
Even cooler than that, they should just, like, on the left side of the continent,
mm-hmm.
where I think it's mountain ranges that stop it, like, make a passageway.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go, and maybe you do it with a paraglider so that you have your stamina is what's blocking noobs from going to this more difficult area. And then you just have it to where you glide into this new area on the other side of the mountains, and it's ruled by a totally different villain.
I do, whatever it is, I want the content to be 100% accessible, theoretically accessible from the beginning of the game.
Why?
Because they need to double down on the same concept that the game is built around. Which is, if you see it from any point after you have the paraglider, you can go there.
Well, yeah, but you can still go places,
hard.
But have to. You have difficulties and stuff like that getting there. Like you can't just swim to the island with the
trial.
Yeah,
you
thank
to
you.
Other
the
place,
trial
yeah.
where you lose all your stuff. You can't get there easily if you have one single stamina bar. You have to have at least one plus a little bit.
You don't swim. You take the raft. And there's a Deku leaf.
There's a raft.
Yeah. I did it with the ice bricks. I just kept making ice
you
bricks.
You could keep making ice
bricks,
or you could do it. There's a raft, and you take the Deku leaf, and you swing the Deku leaf, and it'll all the way out there.
Yeah, chances are you're not going to do so hot being a noob in the game unless you've played it, beat it, restarted, or whatever.
You could take an Octorok bubble. You could do the weird Kinesis thing where you beat
what
up.
Octorok bubble?
Yeah, you could take the Octorok bubbles and attach them to anything and make any object float. Remember when I was talking to you yesterday about how they have the floating little Octorok bubble moblin like area? Yeah, you can do it. People have made floating rafts that just take them all across the map. All kinds of cool stuff. So there's lots of different ways. We just talked about four reasonable ways to get there. So I'm just saying, like, yeah, make it pulse hard, but they need to double down on their concept. It can't be something that you could not theoretically. You've woke up, you've got the paraglider. You should be able to walk there. I mean, it should be damn hard.
Yeah,
like,
because if you can go and you can fight Ganon immediately after getting the paraglider and completing the game, you should have.
Which is ridiculous. I don't know if you know how the game changes if you actually go there.
Yeah,
you have to fight all four of the
right,
blights.
Yeah, all the blights before
in a row.
Yeah,
and then fight Ganon, and you don't have the luxury if you haven't beaten all the spoilers. God, I don't even know if that's. Yeah,
of using the champion abilities.
Yeah,
stuff,
well, no, not the champion abilities, but they blast Ganon based off of how many of the enemies you take down. It kills half his health.
Yeah.
So you're fighting full health Ganon, four other bosses. Like, do that. I don't give a shit, but you need to keep the convention there. It has to be you off your four basic runes and what God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to get there.
Put a gold Lionel in front of it.
Yeah, but I mean, well, yeah. The funny thing about gold Lionels is they don't jump. So you can just...
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, make a passage in the mountains.
Man,
put
they should
Lionel
have put a paraglider in Skyrim.
That'd be sick.
That would be awesome.
You wouldn't believe how many times I climbed to the top of the main mountain in Skyrim and then just walked back down the other side.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to walk around this. I'll just go up.
It's completely not the fastest way, but you just have to do it.
Yeah.
You do the weird zigzag.
Yeah.
That's okay. Funny.
Well, happy birthday, guys.
Thanks.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's how we end the episode.
Oh.
Every week. We've been doing it for weeks.
Have we?
Well, I've been doing it. Normally, I do it after I cut the mics and then go home and edit and add in happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Is that to show me that I haven't been to the end of the podcast?
Did we have? Yeah, we haven't been listening to the end. We cut it off halfway through. We're like, yeah, I've heard enough of myself.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Welcome to the end of the podcast.
From now on, I'm always going to scroll to the last 5 seconds.
Yeah, I need to find out. You shouldn't have told us. It just continued, like, at the end to just shit talk us. And be like, this is proof that
they
don't
remember.
You guys
remember at 33 minutes when blah, blah, blah happened? What the fuck is that about? Okay.